I got ahead of myself. Don't tell my son. That's the first time we've shown that video, although I've heard from people who've sent us messages and said, we saw your son. And I said, I guess they figured it out when they saw me in the background. We are so thrilled to be here tonight and to be able to share with you from God's word and also share with you about what the Lord is doing through your support of missions, through your giving, through your prayer, even through your going. We're really, really thrilled. This video was recorded earlier this year when that IMB sent down a videographer to follow us around for a few days. And one of the things that they wanted to do, and the reason that we happened to be day four in your prayer guide this year is, Paul Chipwood used to be in Kentucky. I don't know if some of you know that. And I'm assuming that at some point someone found out that there was a thriving partnership. And one of the things that we're doing across IMB is really investing in something that we call the every and the all. This is a vision as we move forward. What does that mean? Every person in every place needs to hear the gospel. Every place and all people, everywhere. And so we're asking God to give us vision on how can we do that? How can we take the gospel to these places? And so even months ago, thinking ahead to this day and to this time, my son telling you this story about how we're going and traveling and taking the gospel to some of these hard-to-reach places. But at the heart of all of that is one simple message. It's one simple message. The gospel itself is not a complicated message. It's a simple one. Pastor Scott this morning shared exactly what that is with you. That is Jesus Christ, who came, who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross for our sins, who on the third day was resurrected from the grave and today sits at the right hand of the Father. And he came so that we might have eternal life, so that we might be able to come back into a right relationship with our Creator. That is the gospel. And when we take the gospel to the nations, we take that message to each and to every person. I want to share with you just some pictures as we get started tonight, as we think about the journey to taking the gospel to the nations. This is the most recent picture of our family that we have floating around in the world. This is on the prayer card, and thanks to Lone Oak Baptist Church and Raquel Jackson, who works here in the office with Brother Jeff. She took the picture right here at the Mission House for West Union Baptist Church. So all over the place where this card goes out, just a little piece of Paducah, Kentucky. Isn't that great? Everywhere people see it. They'll never know, but we'll know where it was taken. That's our family about 5 months ago when we landed in the U.S. from furlough. And one of the first things we did within a couple of weeks, we were right here in the Western Kentucky, sharing with some of our churches, including here. And so that's our family. You can see our kids have grown up. But I want to do something a little bit different. I want to take a backwards look. Usually you walk from baby to big, but we're going to walk from big kids to little kids. So the next picture you're going to see is us when the Lord called us out. I wonder if there's one missing. Or maybe I got them in a backwards order. It's okay. So this was the very first prayer card that we had when God called us to the field. Notice that our baby girl is missing. It was just us and a one-year-old at the time and a three-year-old in the picture. And God sending Megan and I out. This was just over 7 years ago as we were preparing to land in Chile for the very first time as a family. If we take a look at the next one. Wow. We're throwing it back there. That was just a few years ago. Y'all don't even recognize that guy, do you? Who is he? And my wife, and she's just as pretty as she's ever been. This was us after we had spent 2 years on the mission field. Megan served in Paris, France, and I served in Brazil. And we came home, and this was probably within just a couple of months of getting back. And I was smitten. And we did not know what God had in store for us in this picture. We didn't know what our children would look like. We didn't know how many we would have. We didn't, I believe at this time, didn't even know what we would do. I don't even think I had a job at the time, fresh off the boat and wondering, what are we going to do? We weren't married yet. And just asking God for direction for our lives. And here I am with you today. I want to go one picture further back. Now, who's that guy? Well, that's me when the Lord called me as a 31-year-old, single guy to leave a nice staff position at First Baptist Church of Aliceville, Alabama, to go and serve him in Brazil. And so this was my first prayer card. You kind of see the evolution of a man in a picture. Well, I was kind of a boy back then. I guess maybe I still am. And I was headed to serve in Florianopolis, Brazil. And on this card, there's a Bible verse. And the Bible verse actually that I read in the service this morning to lighting the candle, and it's John chapter 1, verse 9. There was the true light, which coming into the world gives light to every man. And that for me has always been at the core of what it means to be on mission with God. We are bearers of light. We are witnesses to the gospel. We are witnesses to Jesus Christ. We are not the gospel. We do not bear good news. We only proclaim the good news, which is of Jesus Christ. And he is the light which has come into the world, which is drawing every man into himself. Matthew's gospel, and Jesus said it himself in Matthew chapter 5 that we are the light of the world. What he means is inasmuch as his light shines through us, we are the light of the world. Apart from him, Jesus said, we can do nothing. As we abide in Christ and he abides in us, his light shines through us as we become his image bearers, and we become the bearers of light to a lost and dying world. I want to take one more picture and go one step further back. Who's that young man? Well, that was me at 4 years old, sitting on the steps of the First Baptist Church of Cornelia, Georgia, up in the mountains of North Georgia, close to where our family lived. At the time, my father was pastoring one of the sister churches there. My parents sent me off to vacation Bible school for a week. We dug up this old picture, and it today reminds me of the simplicity of the gospel and what it really means to know the Lord. I'm so glad that we sang People Need the Lord, because this young man at 4 years old, sitting on the steps of the First Baptist Church of Cornelia, Georgia, had no idea of all that the Lord had in store for his life. But at the heart of it all, and at the center of it all, was that this boy needed Jesus, just like you and your family and your children and your grandchildren. And just like the people in Chile, just like the people around the world, we all at some point are just a child in need of a Savior. And so many don't have the opportunity at 4 years old to sit on the steps of a church and to walk in and hear the gospel proclaimed to them. So many children around the world, so many children in Chile and in South America, in Asia and in Africa and the Middle East and Europe and even right here in Kentucky, don't have the opportunity to hear the story from their very earliest days. But the story is important. So if you will, I want to talk to you about John's message of being light to the world from John chapter 1, verses 6 through 13, the verses I read this morning as we lit the candle, the verse that was on my very first prayer card, and I want us to read it together tonight, and then I want us to talk about how this passage of Scripture is so vitally important for us as your missionaries, but also for you where God has planted you in your lives as you are on mission with him. John's Gospel, the first chapter, verses 6 through 13. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God has given us his word, he's given us his son, he's given us his Holy Spirit. I pray that as we look at God's word tonight, and as we reflect on what God is doing through his Holy Spirit, by the power of his word, and through the life of his son, that we would be encouraged in that. So tonight I want to talk to you about three things. I want to ask you about three people. And the first thing I want to do is a little non-traditional, Brother Scott, but I want to start in the middle of my text. Typically, we don't start in the middle, do we? We start sort of the beginning through to the end if you're going to exposit a passage of Scripture, but I want to start in the middle, and there's a reason for that, and the reason is that we jump in the middle of a story, and that's the very first verses of John's Gospel I didn't read, and those are 1 through 5, but that tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things that came into being, they came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being, and nothing has life, it says. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We jump in the middle of the story when we read about John, but Jesus is at the center of it all. And when we start it at verse 9, we realize that this true light that I've been talking about, which comes into the world and enlightens every man, that light is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at the center of it all. Nothing happens apart from him. In Chile, we have a vision statement. One of the things that we do is we've asked God if he would use us to transform our city through Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel, and that our city, once transformed, can help transform the rest of our country, and then our country can help transform the rest of the world. But before we can accomplish that vision, we have a vision statement. We do something that we've called the James Journey. Now, Brother Jeff has heard about the James Journey. Some of you that have been have heard about the James Journey. And the James Journey is really our commitment to a certain set of ideas or goals that we want to accomplish as a team. And it has this little saying, and we invite people to learn it, and it sounds something like this: with Jesus at the center of my life, I will announce his kingdom, I will move together with partners, I will establish churches so that Christ may be exalted among the nations. And so as we lean into our James Journey commitment, we're reminded of the essential things that we're about as missionaries: evangelism, announcing his kingdom, partnership, working with those around us, not being alone in our work, right? We have partners, we have other believers, we're part of the body of Christ, each one doing their job. And for us, that means working with our Baptist churches. There's 500 of them, or used to be, 500 in Chile. We've lost 150 since the pandemic. We're down to 350 Baptist churches. In 5 years, 150 have closed their doors. Of those 350 churches, 40% of them are pastorless. Santiago has 100, so that leaves the rest of the country with 250, and there is not a lack of pastors in Santiago, so do the math, the rest of the country is struggling. So we work with partners, and we establish new churches, and we strengthen existing churches. All of this is part of what God has called us to do, and we do it so that Christ may be exalted among the nations, so that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But all of that is without power if Jesus isn't at the center. if Jesus isn't at the center of it all? And that's why we start with these words, with Jesus at the center. Because Jesus must be at the center of it all. All of our activity, everything that we do, and I love, I'm talking about Scott's message from this morning, but all of the periphery has no value if Jesus isn't at the center of what we do. And it's easy to lose sight on the periphery in ministry even. It's easy to walk on the periphery in ministry and to plant churches or to go and share the gospel and to do all of these things and to forget that if we're not with God personally in His Word, allowing the light of Christ to illuminate our steps, that we're going to have a powerless ministry in illuminating the steps of others, because it's not our light that we take to them. It's the light of Christ shining through us as He is at the center of it all. You tracking with me? Jesus must be at the center. But we have a problem. Jesus isn't at the center. So many times, we can get distracted. I can get distracted. I can commit sins of omission. I can commit sins of commission. And when I do that, when I'm not obedient, I'm quenching the Spirit in my life. But as I lean into God in obedience, then I activate the power of the Spirit in my life. And the Spirit begins to flow through me and empower that which I do. Sin can keep us from having Christ at the center of our lives. But not only does it keep you and me from having Christ at the center of our lives, it keeps the world from allowing Christ to come into the center of their lives. And this passage says just that in John 1:10. It says the light has come into the world that enlightens every man. And in verse 10 it says, He was in the world and the world was made through Him and the world did not know Him. And I tell you that in Chile there are people who are lost apart from Christ. He came to His own, and those were His own did not receive Him. One of the most discouraging things that we experience on the mission field is just the vast lostness around us. Sometimes as I'm in the States on furlough, and this is the first extended time we've had here since we left for the field. We were here for about 8 months during the pandemic, but we were all so locked in our homes and we couldn't do anything that it felt like we might as well have stayed in Chile. And sometimes you in the South, it's easy to forget that lostness is around us, even where we are, because the subtle and not so subtle Christian influences and culture that surround us, and it's confusing at times as to what's Christian and what's not. But as you're on the mission field and you're in a culture that's not your own, you begin to see this lostness. And I ask myself this question as we travel through Chile and we talk to people about Christ, and we hear that in Chile that 50% of Chileans believe in God as He's described in the Bible, which for us is a glass half full or empty, but we see it as glass half full. People are ready to talk about God as He's described in the Scriptures. They believe in God as He's described in the Scriptures, but yet when you talk to them, there's a barrier, and that barrier is their sin. So the light has come to them. They recognize that the light of Christ is there with Him, and as it says here, though, in verse 11, that they do not receive Him. And why? Because of their sin. Jesus in John chapter 3 talks about this. And He says that man hides in darkness because he's afraid of his deeds. He said he's afraid to come to the light because he's afraid that his deeds are going to be exposed. So a man continues to walk in darkness. But when a man comes to light, he's no longer afraid because he knows that his deeds are going to be shown to have been that of the work of God. So sin creates a barrier. And so one of the things that we have to do on the mission field is we have to preach Jesus at the center. Not only at the center for you and for me to empower our Christian living for us as missionaries, but also at the center so that people can can understand what it means to turn from their sin so that no longer do they live their lives for selfish motives with the self at the center, but rather they replace their self with the person of Jesus Christ who comes in and redeems their sin and forgives their sinful nature and gives them a new heart. And he takes that heart of stone and he gives to them a living heart and a new heart. Jesus at the center. So we've talked about Jesus, but these two verses, verses 9 and verse 10, are coupled by two other types of people. And I want to talk to you about them. I want to talk to you about John. And I want you to think back to that picture of me as a four-year-old sitting on the steps of the First Baptist Church, just a little boy who needed the Lord. And John's verses that we've read say this, that there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. And I want to ask you a question. I can't tell you who taught me when I was 4 years old in Sunday school or who my Sunday school teacher was on a week-to-week basis as we were in church. But I can tell you the names of people who came into my life to tell me about Jesus. I can tell you those who came to me as a type of John and who came and spoke the word of God to me. My parents, Rosalind Flanders, who was our Bible drill leader. Did any of you do Bible drill? Our Bible drill leader when I was growing up, who made sure that we memorized the word of God. Mr. Ted Flanders, her husband, tall, gentle man. Mr. Larry Kirkland, who invested heavily in my life when I was 12 and 13 and 14 years old, made such an impression on me as a young man, and others along the way. And when God sends us to the mission field, we go like John as witnesses to the light. I'm just a normal person. I think you guys can tell there's nothing really special about me. I'm overweight. I have a gray hair. My wife's a lot prettier than I am handsome. I'm just a normal person. I butcher English. I have a country accent. Don't ask me how my Spanish sounds. It's probably not very good at times. But yet somehow God has chosen the weak vessels and the weak things of the world to go out and to bear witness to the light. And he said, there's no way that I can be John the Baptist to someone. Well, that's what the people who thought that connected to the ESL class thought. Well, I'm just going to get on a screen and I'm going to talk to people about English and maybe help them understand. But God starts to use that light so that someone like Viley, who I told about in this morning's service, at the appointed time would have an opportunity to give her life to Christ. Because people are faithful witnesses where God places them in the moment that he places them there. So I want to ask you a question. Who was your John? Who was your John? Do you remember who it was that led you to Christ? Can you close your eyes and picture that person or just see them where you are? Say, that person was faithful to be a witness where God had placed them. And there are probably more than one, if you think about it, who have walked with you in your life. Now I want to ask you another question. You might know what I'm going to ask. Have you ever been a John? to someone else? Have you ever been a witness? How is your light shining? How is the light of Christ as you abide in Him shining forth from you so that others might come to know this Jesus who came into the world to enlighten every man? Have you been a John? God has called us to be witnesses like John the Baptist. And you say, well, Landon, I don't know about that theology. Where do you get that from? Well, in Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, Jesus told us something about John the Baptist. He said he was a giant. He said, in fact, there was no one who ever lived who was greater than John the Baptist. Do you remember that? No one is greater than John the Baptist. Tell you the truth, that no one born of a woman, of man who's lived is greater than John the Baptist, Jesus said. So there's no way that you and me can be like John the Baptist. But Jesus didn't say that no one could be like John the Baptist. In fact, he went on to say that I tell you the truth, that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Why is that? Because when he rose from the grave and he ascended, he sent his helper to us. And his helper is the Holy Spirit who comes and indwells in us and empowers us to be his witness. And so you say, well, Landon, what does that have to do with Chile? Well, we need people to be John. Now, you can be John for a career, you can be John for a couple of years, you can be John for a week, you can be John even for a day. But you can be a part of what God's doing in His kingdom work. Wherever you go, when you say, here I am, Lord, I want to be a mighty vessel for your kingdom purposes. I want to be used by you to point people to Jesus Christ. And then finally, I want to ask you another question. Verses 12 and 13 tell us this, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so I want to talk to you about who I call Joe. So we've talked about Jesus, and we've talked about John. I want to talk to you about Joe. And you say, well, who's Joe? Well, Joe is as many as received him who had the right to become a child of God. Joe is whoever in your mind you can think of right now that needs to hear the life-changing, life-transforming, life-giving message of the gospel. Who is your Joe? Do you remember who your John is? The bigger question is, if I asked you, who is your Joe today, would you know who that is? Do you have in your mind the person that you know that needs to be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know the person that God is asking you to be a light so that they can come to know this Jesus who's come to give them life? We know the Savior, who is Jesus. We know our John, who walked with us so that we could come to know Jesus. I've asked you if you're willing to be a John so that you can go and be a light so that someone else can know him. And so the logical next step is, A John needs a Joe with whom they can share the gospel. In Chile, we have 20 million Joes. People from Arica in the north to Punta Arenas in the south, as we say in Chile. 20 million stretched over 3,000 miles. 8 million in Santiago proper. 1.3 million, as I say, that live in our upper class, upper middle class bubble of the city. And of those 1.3 million people, you can draw a line around, only 5,000 went to church today. And it's easy to walk through the city and to move on the subway or to ride on the bus or to drive in your car and just feel the despair of so many Joes who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, who need to have their lives changed. So many people who have the light of Christ so close, but who don't know how to receive him. They're just waiting on the John to come and tell them about Jesus Christ. So many people who God has swung open the door for them by the life of his son through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, so that they could know him as Lord and Savior. And someone needs to take the gospel to them. Some of you need to be a Joe right here where you are. Others, God's calling to join him in his work around the nation so that all may gather around the throne of Christ. Who's your Joe? I'm going to close with a little illustration to tell you something that I think illustrates very well just how simple it is to come to faith in Christ. So our daughter, who was not in the first picture when we went out 7 years ago, she was in the second one that I think we jumped over. I didn't put in the file properly. It's just a little baby, and now she's three and a, almost four. She'll be four on February the 2nd. She was born on 2-2 of 22. 2-2 of 22, very easy to remember. Her name is Mary Margaret. That's her American name, Mary Margaret Teresa Williams. But my daughter has something very different about her. Is she has two legal names. Do you ever know anybody have two legal names? Because she is an American, but she was born something different. She was born on her birth certificate, Mary Margaret Teresa Williams Williams. She has two last names because every Chilean has two last names. And my daughter was not born on American soil. She was born in Santiago, Chile. And so when they gathered her information, they said, well, what are her parents' last names? And we said, well, mine's Williams and hers is Williams. And they looked at us like, y'all are weird, because that's just not how they do it. But that's what she has. She's double Williams. Five names. It's a mouthful. You're like, not enough room to write it all on the paper. You just kind of do the best you can. Mary Margaret Teresa Williams Williams. Well, in 2022, the very first time my daughter came to the States, matter of fact, she came twice that year. Once we came for my brother-in-law who got married, when we weren't coming because we had a newborn, and well, missionaries don't make a lot of money, and my in-laws said, well, that's unacceptable because our son's getting married, so you pay what you were going to pay, and we'll pay the rest. Aren't that great, in-laws? I mean, that was just wonderful. So, and we'll pay the rest. And so we came back, and we took some vacation, and we spent about 3 weeks here with our family. And when we came, Mary Margaret didn't come in as an American citizen. And you think, well, how is that? Her parents are American. She's an American. Well, she came in on a Chilean passport. She even had to apply for what they call a visa waiver in order to be able to come into her own country, at least in my mind, with us. because she's Chilean. And Chileans like to say that you're born by the right of the sun, a Chilean, meaning the first light she saw was that in the southern hemisphere that was shining over Santiago, Chile on February the 2nd of 2022. Well, fast forward a little bit, and we had to get some things sorted out. We said, is she going to go for the rest of her life, go into the U.S. as a Chilean? Or are we going to, what are we going to do? We read the law, and you don't really pay a lot of attention to the immigration laws or the citizenship laws of your country until you have to. And we began to read a lot, and we found out that there are some laws, and the laws have changed over the years, and they vary depending on how old you are and where you were born and all sorts of things, or if your parents are both Americans, or if your parents lived 5 years in America over the age of 14 or not. It's confusing just hearing me talk about it. Go read it. It's not a lot clearer. And so we go down to the embassy, and we say, we would like to apply for citizenship for our daughter. Now, that sounds weird. I want to apply for citizenship for our daughter. They said, well, do you have a Chilean birth certificate? Yes, we do. Well, do you have proof that you and your wife both lived in America for at least one day since you're both American citizens? And can you prove that you're both American citizens and that you were both born in America? And so we have to gather all of these documents and we do all of these things. And we as her parents had the option to choose her citizenship for her. But she was not born an American citizen. She was born with a right to become an American citizen. Now, that's a small but big distinction. That means that for all of her life, even if her parents did not choose her citizenship for her, that there would come a time when she reached the age of majority, when she for herself could decide, my parents didn't do it for me, but I would like to be an American citizen. God forbid her parents die and don't leave her with the documentation that she needed, because it's a process. But she was born with the right to become an American citizen. Now, I don't know if that rings a little bell in your brain about the passage of Scripture that I just read. But Scripture tells us that to all who believe in Him, they have a right to become children of God. Let me put it in other language for you. For everyone who would claim it, God has given them a right to be His child. We are born as citizens of some country, some town, some place. But God has told us in His word that we all have a right to heavenly citizenship, that we have our eyes set on something greater than just the citizenship of this world, that He's calling us into a higher calling and to place our faith in Him and to become eternal citizens of our heavenly home. And the only way to do that is by faith in Jesus Christ. There's a world of Joes who have been born into this world and have been born with the right to claim that citizenship, which God has freely offered to all through Jesus Christ. And they're just waiting on a Joe to go and tell them about this free gift that God has offered them. I want to thank you for allowing our family to say yes to God's call to be a John to many Joes in Chile. It really is our greatest honor and privilege to have done what we've been able to do and to be able to partner with God in that. I want to thank you for giving and for praying. I know you've got your prayer, week of prayer things. You're going to be praying for us. You have our prayer cards. Many of you have been praying for us since we first met, and we're so thankful for that. As I've talked about this word, I've tried to share with you some images from Chile, some things about what we're doing so that you can get a picture of who we are and what we do. But the most important thing that we do is we preach Jesus to all who would hear. And I want to continue to invite you, as there are Jeff Wallace and Jeff Gardner and Dean Kaufman and others from this church are leading out and taking teams, and there are other opportunities to come, and to invite you to come alongside of us in Chile. And if God's not calling you to Chile, the church is going to other places. They just got back from Kenya, and they go to Cuba. There was a team in Israel, and there are people going all over the place. You don't have to just come to my country, but go with God where He would lead you to go. And before you get on a plane, make sure you go right here and tell somebody that God has opened the door so that they could be a citizen of His heavenly kingdom. Amen. Be a John who tells a Joe about Jesus Christ. We're going to have a time of invitation, a time for you to respond. And there might be someone here, there might be a child in here, or even an adult who says, you know, I don't remember who my Joe was because I never gave my life to Him, or I haven't done it yet. Tonight, we're going to have an invitation. You can do that. There might be someone here that says, I want to come and be a John. I want to be that person for someone else. I want to take a step in my faith and my relationship with Christ, and I want to be a witness in a way that I haven't been before, and you want to come and pray over that decision, or you want to come and maybe just take an opportunity at the altar tonight to pray for Joe. And if you say, God, I don't know who my Joe is, maybe you want to come and say, God, would you burden my heart for someone that I can take the gospel to? And finally, maybe God is saying it's time for me to take the next step in my journey with Him. Maybe there's someone here that's being called into missions, either short-term or mid-term or even long-term, says, God, I need to give my life to You for this kingdom purpose so that the nations may know Him. Let's stand together as we sing, as we conclude our service. Pastor Scott's going to come. You come as the Lord has led.